Where was it then?
Two.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll go even quicker for that. Okay. I don't know. What's your name? Avi what?
Lunitz.
Okay. What's your name?
Hamzah.
Okay. Okay, nice to meet you guys. It's a big schuss for me to be able to be here and share some ideas that I'm going to really speak on a personal level of different experiences that I had, I still have over the course of my chinuch career, we'll call it, mostly in Eshet Torah. I'll share some ideas of areas that were a chizuk for me that hopefully we could grow together with. There's the last time I spoke in Kollel was 27 years ago. Record. It's not here, for that matter. So it's good. It's good to be back here. A very, very, very special place in my heart for the Kollel. Okay, we're all involved here, whether it's Madrichim, or staff, and the Mizak and the Rabbim. What greater thing that we could do with our lives than to be Mizak and the Rabbim? It's many, many levels of that. Of why it's so special. And that wasn't the point they asked me to speak about tonight, but just to appreciate for a second, besides the Kavod Shemayim that comes through Zikir Rabin, and besides the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Vav Halacha Hey, the Rambam brings a pasuk in Tehillim that calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yor Mishlata, Yora Chatoim, that Hashem is more, he's like a teacher for the Chatoim, for the Chotim, to be able to come back. And the Rambam asks, not so common for the Rambam to do this, the Rambam says, where do we ever find that Hashem is teaching people how to come back onto the derech, that they're coming to be mechazik then? So the Rambam gives two answers. The first answer is the fact that Hashem put into this world Nevi'im and other people that are madrich, the chotim, or those who are less privileged, we'll call it, to be on the derech. The fact that Hashem puts those people in, through those people are conduits for HaKadosh Baruch Hu being able to teach everyone else the right way. So in essence, anyone here who's involved in being the Zaka the Rabbin, they're really conduits for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go through us, go through you, in order to be able to bring the world to the Shlemus, to where it's supposed to be. That's a tremendously powerful statement. It's a mechayev for us to realize who we are and what we are and what we're doing. But it's a very, very special thing. And there are many, many more reasons on a grand scheme to explain why Zikir Rabim is so great. But I want to go in a different direction for a moment. I want to speak about selfish reasons to be Mizak and the Rabim. Okay, forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a second, and forget about Klal Yisrael and all the grand plans. Let's look at a few selfish reasons. The third being very, very pertinent to, I think, challenges that many people have when they're in chinuch or when they're involved with students, etc. So the first one is easy, is the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Yad Aleph, and in Chagiga, the beginning of Perek Beis, the Rambam says that part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach. It's as simple as that. So if you want to fulfill your mitzvah, you have 613 mitzvahs in your bucket list, that you want to fulfill all of them, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the only way you can fulfill it is if you teach. If you're not involved in teaching people, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. So a person can be sitting and learning Yom V'Layla his entire life. If he never teaches anyone, he has not fulfilled his mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And therefore, if we are invested in learning, and we enjoy learning, and we're excited about learning, and we want to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so it's pashut. A person on a selfish level has to go ahead and teach. The second is, for anyone with a business background, is the ROI, return on investment. The Chovos HaLevavos writes in Shar Bitachon, in Perek Dalet, and in Shar Avos Hashem, Perek Vav, very important to look these up, the Chovos HaLevavos writes that all the schar, that all the mitzvos, that any of our Talmidim, or someone that we inspired to come back to do mitzvos, any mitzvah that they do afterwards, and any mitzvah their children do afterwards, etc., 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 the person who influenced and inspired gets schar for all of those mitzvahs. So if you look, like the Chovos HaLevavos writes, if you want to know how you're going to get into Olam Haba, it says if you look at an individual, you know, Rasmus saying, how am I going to get into Olam Haba? So I try to look at the good things they do and the bad things they do. All the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me on a day-to-day basis, the fact that I'm able to talk, and I'm able to walk, and I'm able to speak, and I'm able to breathe, all those things, I just fall more in debt to Hashem. So at the end of the day, why am I zocha to get into Olam Haba? There's probably no specific reason I should get in. So he says, the only way you can really get in, or one of the ways that you can get in, is if you add up a lot of schlios. He says, how are you going to get your schlios? He says, if you teach others and inspire others, and then those people are nischazik, and they start to go ahead and learn Torah and do mitzvot, etc. So you end up getting the schar for all of their mice and tovim, because it was because of you. So he says, that's the best way to invest, because you invest over here, and you can get tremendous amounts of benefits besides your own avodas Hashem and your own Torah and mitzvot that you do. Okay, again, that's a selfish reason. Why do I care about selfish reasons? Because when you're in chinuch and you're involved, I'm sure all of you have experienced this, it gets difficult. There are a lot of challenges, and you want to try to go ahead and be l'shem shemayim always, and you want to try to think about the kavod shemayim and the fact that you're a conduit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're helping the whole world get to shleimus. And yeah, you all think about all those big things, but sometimes it's very hard to do that. So sometimes you need to draw from your reservoir of selfish reasons, since many of us are at least born selfish. So you think of some reasons that you know that will maybe push us even on a selfish level, even if we can't hit those grander levels of why Zikir Rabim is important. But there's a third reason, selfish reason, which changes everything. And that is, it's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos in the fifth parak, and it's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf, Pei, Zayin, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that that's anyone who's Mizakas Arabim, Kol Mizakas Arabim, Ein Chait Ba'ayadom. So someone who's Mizakas Rabim, he won't sin. Pashup Shah. Right? So it's, at first glance, and maybe even a second glance, it's an Indian schoolie. It's like a special shmira that a person has. If you're Mizakas Rabim, so you have the protection from performing different transgressions. But Rav Yisrael Salanter had a different take, or a different level, revealed a different level to this Gemara. And this is very, 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 very important. This is really what I wanted to speak about tonight. He says as follows. He says, Rav Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, he says that when a person is studying Musar, self-reflection, self-introspection, very often that could lead to be selfish, self-centered. Think about yourself, become very critical. It could lead to places that Musar is really actually not supposed to take you to. And therefore, he says that if a person is involved with others, he teaches others, he learns with others, he schmoozes with others, tries to inspire others, and interacts with others, so then all of a sudden, that could go ahead and shift his whole focus from his own, you know, what am I doing, self-analysis, and it allows to start to broaden us and allow us to look outward. But even more so, and this is the key, is that when you start to get involved with other people, and when you start to teach, and when you start to try to prepare shiurim, and give over shiurim, and have to answer questions, and have to deal with sometimes immaturity, and whatever challenges come up, which we'll speak about in a moment, that all of a sudden reveals certain parts of myself that I wasn't aware of. Meaning, maybe I wasn't aware that I'm as impatient. I thought I was a pretty patient guy, and all of a sudden I see people are pushing my limits. It's not as easy as I thought. Or maybe I thought that I understood the Torah in a very significant way, clear way. When I talk about Chavrus, everything's clear. And all of a sudden, no one understands what I'm talking about. So I have to, all of a sudden, when I engage in teaching others, it causes me to grow in many ways that I was not aware that I need to have to grow in. Parts of my personality, parts of my talents, that I wasn't able to work on just my own little Avodas Hashem on the side, now all of a sudden come out. So really, this is a selfish reason also, but really, if a person wants to grow in the greatest possible way, teaching and engaging with others is the best way to go. Because it comes out many other areas that you need to work on, and then you could go ahead and take that challenge and be able to grow through that. Now, these challenges that come through teaching and through being mashpia applies to everyone. No one should ever think that being a madrich, and then it's like, oh yeah, I have these challenges. The biggest Rosh Yeshiva have these challenges, and the mashgichim, and the rebbeim, everyone has these types of challenges that come out. It's not something specific. Okay, we'll try to maybe give it terms in madrich terms. But it's something that applies to everyone at every single stage of life, and it's important just to hold in your back pocket, because hopefully it will help us as we move forward. So I want to say we have two different categories of challenges. One is personal challenges of the teacher, the madrich, let's say, and the second are challenges that come about in the student and how I deal with those types of things. Okay. So the first category is my own personal challenges, and we'll speak about two of them. One is insecurities. Many of us, speak about myself, we have insecurities about teaching in general. Am I good enough? Do the Talmidim like me? Or do they like the other person better? Do they understand what I'm saying? What happens if they ask me a question and I have no idea what the answer is? So when I go ahead and I have to deal with those questions, I'm handicapped. I'm not going to go ahead and enter into his world if I'm scared of the type of things he's going to ask me. What happens if he asks me an eighth and I don't know how to give it? What happens if he asks me a Samamuna question and then I look stupid and I see that he sees that I know much less than maybe even him? So we put up walls as Mechanchim. We put up walls sometimes not to enter into what we call the danger zone, into an area that I'm insecure and I'm scared of entering. That yira, that fear, is extremely dangerous and it's terrible. One of the greatest ways of impacting anyone is when you're just a real person. It's not going to be the fancy razzle-dazzle chabura that you prepared. It's when they see that you're a real person and you're a grown person and I have faults and I have challenges and I have difficulties and I handle them in proper ways and in good ways, etc. That is the greatest way for me to be able to go ahead and be mashpia. So the best thing is when they see that I don't know something. And between me and you, I believe that most of my learning, the clarity that I had in learning came from after I started teaching and people started bombing questions at me. I couldn't get away with fancy chakiras that I really didn't understand what the tzuvim were. I had to articulate it in extremely clear ways. I had to explain why it actually mattered. I had to go ahead and give it over in a way that was very different than what I was used to beforehand. So going into those areas that I wasn't so comfortable with were the ways that at the end of the day, my learning and everything that I grew, that I gained from grew significantly. And here we have to activate point one in Amunah. How my Amunah impacts my teaching. The Nefesh HaChaim writes in Shar Aleph, the very beginning, I think it's Sifkan Beis, and the Beis Halevi in Chumash, in Parashat B'Shalach, talks about this at great length. He speaks about how one of the key points of our Amunah is that every single moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating the world. Like we say in Davening, HaMechadesh Tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid, that every single moment, Hashem is recreating the world. So we think that I'm talking and I'm speaking and I'm giving over some idea. Really, every single moment is a brand new moment that the world didn't exist and now exists, and now exists again, and now exists again, and now exists again. It's like the old time movies, right? That they had slides, and you play the slide super fast and you see the guy walking, right? That's where the world actually is. Each one, every moment is a separate slide. Every moment is a separate rega, as he calls it. And Hashem recreates the world every single moment. La'osei orim gedolim. In present tense, Hashem makes the Orim Gedolim, the Nefesh HaChaim writes. That means, this is a fascinating thing, that means that every single moment Hashem is creating me. The reason we all exist right now is not because we were born a long time ago. It's because Hashem right now decided to recreate me, and recreate me, and recreate me, and recreate me. That means that Hashem believes in me. Because if Hashem didn't believe in me, and Hashem didn't think that I could do whatever it is that I'm in the middle of doing, Hashem would just stop it at that moment. Think about that a little bit. It's a little deep, right? Which means that anything that I'm engaged in, we have to believe. Moshe Cordovero writes about this in the beginning of Talmud Dvar as well, on the Chatayim side, that if we're in the middle of doing a chet, God forbid, Hashem is actually letting us do it, because he's recreating us every single moment and allowing our hand to do that action that is inappropriate. Pretty unbelievable thing. Hashem, and he says, if Hashem will let us do that, how can we just turn people away that are sinning? It doesn't make any sense. Hashem lets us do it, so we should be there for other people as well. Anyway, the point is that Hashem believes in us. Hashem believes in every single second, recreates us, and gives us that koach for us to go ahead and move forward. And therefore, we should never feel scared to go ahead and get involved with others, and to teach others, and to get into areas that we might not know the answers. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating every single moment means that He believes in me, He believes in what I'm doing, and He wants me to continue. He wants me to continue to go ahead and impact. And it'll work. And if I don't know the answer, I'll ask someone, I'll get the answer, and I'll be much smarter, and I'll grow from it. Okay, so the first area of Emunah we have to appreciate and believe in is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating us every single moment, which means that He believes in us, and we have the koach to go ahead and be able to carry through things that we're scared to go ahead and do. And we should let those barriers down and try to go all the way. That's one. Two, and this is a biggie, and this is one that I definitely have struggled with, and continue to struggle with, and I hear from many, many other Rebbeim that they struggle with as well. And that is my own personal growth, my own personal learning. Here I am, I want to learn, I want to learn more, I have my goals, I have my projects, I want to write these things up, I want to hear these shiurim, I have so many things that I have to accomplish. And then I'm going ahead and I'm teaching certain people that maybe, or probably, or definitely are on a significantly lower level than myself, and it's a waste of time. How am I going to continue to grow? How am I going to develop? See, here there's a very important yisod by the Baal HaFla. Now, HaFla is the HaFla is written in Maseches Ksuvos, but on Kiddushin, there's a sefer called what they call the Matne or the Mikne, which is the correct way of saying it. Anyway, so the Matne in the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, in his introduction, you can look it up in Sifkot Mem Gimel. He quotes a Gemara in Erechim, right? Chagiga. Gemara Chagiga Daf Tezvav. The Gemara says that how do you know how to pick a Rebbe? So the Gemara says that Torah Yivakshim Apiyu Kimalach Hashem Tzvakos. If your Rebbe is Domet to a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, then that's who you should go after. So he explains, what does it mean that Hashem, your Rebbe is a Malach? That's impossible. You never could get to a spiritual level of a Malach. So what does it mean that that's the one you should be Yivakshim Apiyu? So he explains that the difference between a malach and a human being is that a malach is omed. A malach stands in one spot. He doesn't grow, he doesn't walk, as opposed to the humans are holchim, the people who walk, they change, they move. So he says that if you see that your Rebbe is someone that is looking to teach in a way that is helping his own knowledge, sometimes people say, I want to go into chinuch. Why? Because I love learning. That's a terrible reason to go into chinuch. It's terrible. If you love learning, you should go learn. You might be able to learn more even if you're in business. You don't go into chinuch because you want to learn. You go into chinuch because you want to teach. So if you're like a malach, if the person's like a malach and he's omeid, it doesn't look like he's growing at all. The person's asking the same exact question a gazillion times and he keeps on answering it. Every time he answers it, he doesn't become more knowledgeable in Torah. Right? It's clear that he's there totally for the student, for the one that he's trying to be mashpia on. He's like a malach that's omeid. So that's the type of person that you want to be, yivakish toro piu, that's the person you want to go look for. But someone who's looking to grow madrega to madrega through teaching you, that is not the person that you should be looking to learn from. And HaFlok, in the Sefer HaChumash, in Panim Yafos, in Parashat Vayera, he continues, he speaks about this more. And he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Sadi katamar yifrach." The pasuk says, "Sadi katamar yifrach." That a tamar, the Gemara says in Tainis, is osa peros. A date palm gives him a fruit. So a tzaddik, if he makes himself like a tamar yifrach, that he goes ahead and he blossoms, like he gives him a fruit. He teaches Torah. So now, if he's teaching Torah, he's not going to be able to grow like the Erez. The cedar tree, which is strong and mighty, he's never going to get that high because he's spending time teaching people. Just, how's he going to, if he's teaching and teaching and teaching, how's he ever going to get to that level of knowledge? How's he going to get to that height of like the Erez tree? So the pasuk says, Tzadik ha-tamar yifrach, if the tzadik makes himself like the tamar and he's yifrach, he gives over and he teaches the Torah, then to Erez balvanom yisket. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that person end up being like a cedar tree. And this is part of the magic of Zipia Rabbi. You might have seen it. If not, you will see it. But if you're involved in teaching, what happens is that magically, we'll call it, or Hashgacha, Hashem makes it that you'll find the Mar Makom faster than if you weren't teaching. There are times that I'm about to give a shmooze or whatever it is, and literally on the table in front of me is a safer that's like pick up. And like, whoa, that's what I needed. And all of a sudden, boom. Or things that maybe would have taken you 2 hours to understand and get clear, because you're doing it to teach, will take you an hour. So you think you're losing out because you're preparing to teach, but at the end of the day, you're actually getting more time, or you're getting things faster, and that enables you to do more. So we think, if as long as we make ourselves like a Tamar Yifrach, we make ourselves like a date palm, which isn't as tall as the Erez, but we go ahead and we're able to give over, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it, Ke'erez Baal Vanon Yiske, that we're going to rise high like the Erez tree. And this is on many, many levels. It's the clarity that we can have in learning. It's the Mar Makomos that you might get faster. It's the questions that people ask. And it's also the time. The Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Avos Chesed, you want to take a look, it's in Gimel Ches. So the Chafetz Chaim writes as follows. Of course, the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and David Ches, that Abai and Rava lived for different amounts of time. Rava lived for 40 years because he learned Torah, and Abaye, who learned Torah and was involved with Gnus Chassadim, he lived for 60 years. So the Chafetz Chaim explains what that means is, he explains what Machlokes Abai and Rava was, why wasn't Rava doing the Chesed, and why was Abai doing it, fine, Ayin Sham. But then he says that obviously Abaye was right, because Abaye was Zoche to live for 20 more years. And he says, and what was the idea of the 20 more years? That you might have thought that Abaye lost out on his learning because he was involved in Chesed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him another 20 years to live. So that he ended up coming out the same as Rav in the learning. So meaning, if we get involved in the learning, we do this. So Ke'erez Baal Vanon Yiske, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might make us higher and bigger and stronger. Why? Because he'll give us more time. He'll give us the ability to have more time in order to be able to go ahead and learn. We're not going to lose out. We think we're losing out, because if I'd be learning, I'd know more right now. But in the grand scheme of things, you never, ever lose out. Adaraba, you get even higher through a person being involved in teaching. Okay. So, again, those two challenges, it could be my own learning or my own fear of insecurities, through our emunah, in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in me, is recreating me every single day, I shouldn't have those insecurities, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that he will give us the more time, and he'll give us the clarity faster, and he'll be able, allow us to be able to get, to be like the Erez Yiske. So that should also, that emunah should allow us to continue to go ahead and teach, even when it gets difficult. Okay. Now move to category number two. And that is challenges with our students. With the Talmidim. And here also, listen, we've got two different challenges. I know we could probably list 100. But I'll speak about two of them. The first one is that sometimes, you know, we're given students. It's extremely rare that you get to pick who is that's going to end up in your chabura, or who's going to end up in your classroom. It's almost unheard of. Maybe the Alter from Kelm was able to do that, but besides him, I have not heard of people that just get to pick. A lot of times we're dealt our talmidim, okay? And sometimes we're not able to connect or relate to one of the talmidim. Maybe it's all the talmidim sometimes. Some people we can be buddies with, or play ball with, and we feel like we can connect to, and some we can't. So what do we do when you have that challenge, when there's someone that you're supposed to be teaching and you're unable to connect to them in the strongest way? So here are two strategies, tips we'll call it, that can help us with this. The first is that, and this is something that applies to all relationships, marriage in particular, but it really applies to all relationships. And that is, Hashkacha had it that this Talmud is now sitting under your nose. That's the bottom line. Meaning, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and Hashem wanted these five students to be in my chabura, these 20 boys to be in my class, these students to be in my school, these people to be in my shul. That's what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted me to be the rabbi of the shul, me to be the teacher of the class, me to be the leader of this chabura, me to be the chavrusa of this individual right now. This is what Hashem wanted. So the fact that the hashkacha had it that way, so that means that Hashem believes that I'm the right person for this guy. So even though right now I feel like maybe this isn't it, but no, this is one of those challenges that Yisrael Salanter pointed out, that maybe this is something, it's not so easy to relate to this person. It's not so easy to connect this person. Maybe that's exactly what I needed. I needed someone or a few people that aren't as easy to connect to, that I can now try to work through my midos and different things in order to try to be able to connect that person. And we have to realize that and believe in it with our Emunah Shleima that I can figure this out. If Hashem believes in me, the teacher, to be here, so then I can figure this out, and we have to search deep to figure out how it is that I'm going to be able to connect with this person. That's one. Two, is something that the Talmud Devorah writes in Aleph Vav, and this is a Yisod forever. He says specifically marriage, but it applies to every single relationship, and specifically during the 9 days, this is a gewaldige thing to try to think about. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, in Perek Dalid, Kulach Yafa Rayasi, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that Bnei Yisrael, you are beautiful. Umlo Meimbach, you have no blemish. So the Ramak speaks out, he says, what? Not including the pasuk, what is this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us perfect. I mean, is he blind? We're not perfect. Bnei Yisrael are not perfect. So what does it mean, Mum Einbach? So he says, this is one of the Yudgim Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the pasuk, in Sefer Micha. Ki chafetz chesed hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the chesed of people. And what that means is that even though people are doing things that aren't necessarily right, but he looks at their good. He looks at the good in them, he looks at the chesed that they do, and he says, wow, look how amazing they are. They did something wrong, that's not a mum in them. It doesn't mean they're inherently blemished. The word, the common word these days is deficient. They don't have a deficiency. They're perfect. They made a mistake. So externally, they go ahead and they have blemishes, they have issues, but inside them, they're perfect. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Bnei Yisrael. And the Ramak writes, but that's the way we have to look at other people. Someone might have wronged you, they might have gotten angry at you, they might have done something to you that's inappropriate. We have to look at that person, okay, he made a mistake, he did something wrong, maybe I don't have to hang out with him all day and all night, but I have to look at him as a good person. I have to look at him as inherently a neshama that's totally pure and perfect, and therefore, I can relate to him. There's something very good. Now, this is difficult sometimes, especially when we're nifka from someone, but if we could take a look and say, look, this is bad action, but there's who he is internally, who he is in his essence. Who he is, the etzem, is someone good, someone perfect. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at me that way, I can look at other people that way as well. So the first step in trying to bridge that gap when we have two people is to develop that Ayin Tova. To be able, that means we have to look at that student and say, let's try to figure out what are all the good things about this guy. Okay, he doesn't pay attention. Okay, he doesn't this. Okay, he doesn't that. But what's good about him? Let's try to think about that, and let's try to connect to that, let's try to appreciate that, and say, oh, that's who he really is. And then when we do that, we're able to put on the side some of the negatives, and be able to connect to him in a very, very different way. Again, Hashem wants us to connect to him, Hashkach had it, that Hashem gave him to us, as a Talmud, etc. Now we have to try to work on seeing the good in him, appreciating him, seeing his potential, and allowing him to, and allowing to connect to him. Okay. Issue number two with Talmidim sometimes, and this is a biggie, and if I remember correctly from my NC Cycle days, it was applicable very, very in a big way here. And that is, sometimes Talmidim, this is everywhere though, aren't so interested. This is the part that I was talking about NC Cycle. I might have prepared my chaburas for months or weeks, many, many hours before the kol started. So I'm preparing my chaburas, I'm making my fancy source sheets, and I'm all excited. Obviously, I picked the topic that I'm very passionate about and excited. And I know that I'm coming in, I'm so excited about it. I'm going to get everyone else excited. I spend time, resources, money maybe even, preparing these marmakoma sheets, etc. And I get there, and they're not interested. This is not where they're at, this is not what they want. So I feel totally rejected. I feel down and out. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe this is not for me. What am I supposed to do? And we could break this up into two areas. Sometimes we start feeling like maybe the student is not capable. I prepared this high-level shiur, lots of marmakomas. I think it's super clear, but they just don't understand what I'm talking about. So maybe they're not capable. So on that, we have to have a muna that every person was created with Tzelem Elokim. And at the end of the day, everyone has infinite potential. The potential for everyone is infinite. I mean, they have a Kodesh Baruch Hu inside them. So I just have to figure out how to activate that. I have to be able to look, because they didn't understand the chabur the way I said it. Okay, so how would they understand it? Maybe I came in with certain expectations, I have to reboot, I have to restart, but how would they understand it? Maybe I have to learn with him one-on-one to understand what way I can now enter into teaching him to figure out, that's my job, to figure out how to activate that potential. We have to believe in people. You can never give up on anyone. I've seen Talmidim, Henry knows this, but I'm not so like into like these stories that I can't relate to. I'll tell you a story that happened to me. There was a Talmud that I once had, literally had a major, major reading issues and processing issues and I did not live by what he just said. So I did not fully really believe in him, that he was capable of getting too far. And I'm not sure, the guy who learned Hasmada Aruba for many years, and something just opened up. And he was able to make a lane, he was able to grow, and he was able to develop, and it was boom, 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 boom. I saw it. It was unbelievable. So you have to believe in people. And the more you believe in them, and you realize they have the Tzelem Elokim, we have that Emuna, we're able to go ahead and impact them. The second, and this is a biggie, is that the Iker Avoda of a teacher is what not to say. That took me a long time to learn. Okay, we could prepare enormous amounts and know a tremendous amount, but there's a significant difference and there's a gap that's very far apart between my preparation and my presentation. Everything that I prepared does not have to be presented, and more than that, should not be presented. I have to know, as a teacher, I have to know the sugya, I have to know all the possible questions, I have to know all the different scenarios, I have to have a very, very wide range of the knowledge. But then I have to think about what's the best way to give it to them, what do they want, how do they want it, and how can I simplify it in the best way to give it over. So I could give a tefillah shir for 5 minutes before mincha, and I might have to spend 30 hours to prepare for that 5 minutes. Now, Baruch Hashem, I might know a lot more than what I say in that 5 minutes, but I have to think very, very hard how to make it impactful and real. So sometimes we might prepare. We shouldn't be despondent that we prepared so much and it didn't work. There's no reason to feel down and out about that. Instead, first of all, you have all those marmakomas the rest of your life. That's very important. To have things that you compare nowadays, you have no idea how many things I used from 20 years ago, and by accident I prepared back then, by accident. Second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously wanted you to prepare it, right? So he made you think that this is what is needed, and this is the way to go, etc. Why? You'll see later on why you have to have those sugyos. You'll be able to build off of it, you'll be able to build bigger classes, etc. Hashem wanted you to have those classes and do it. So we shouldn't feel down and out. We did it. We gained something from it. We learned it. Now, Basher Rusham, we have to go ahead and switch gears. And we have to say, okay, now that I see the students that I have, is this the right way to give it over? Is this really what they need? And then we go ahead and we shift it. Meaning, a Baal Emuna really shouldn't have much expectations before he walks into the class. He could prepare everything that he has, but then he has to learn the sugya, and I mean the sugya of the students. Who are these guys? What do they want? What do they need? And then have the ability to jump ship and to go in a different direction. It's an amuna that's very, very important and comes in many, many different facets throughout our chinuch opportunities. And that is, again, the ikar in preparation is to think about what not to say. We should have a lot of information, but we should know what is needed. Giving over more does not mean that I'm better, I'm bigger, it's not going to make people like me more, it's not going to make me grow more, it's worthless. The ikar is what do they need to hear and how do they need to hear it. And if we could have that emuna, that we're in the right place and we're to be able to impact these Talmidim in the way that they need it, we'll rise to that occasion and we might have to switch the subject matter, we might have to do this, we might have to do that, but at the end of the day, they'll see that we're like Malachim. It's not all about our own personal growth. We're there for them, we're able to impact them, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll be able to grow together with the Talmidim. That's the greatest thing, to be able to grow with them. And allows them to grow, allows us to grow at the end of the day, and we're zocha to make a big Kiddush Hashem. Okay, Shkayach.